Okay. All right, bring us in.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. What? Don't be talking while I'm introing. Hello, everybody. I hate you so much.
I wasn't even trying. Okay, now I will be quiet.
Avengers Spotlight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to... I'm done. We're in. That's Bill, I'm Paul. Over. That's Bill, I'm Paul. We're looking at the next issue of the Avengers Kang Initiative series saga story thing. Bill's a pain in my... What's Tukus. The word? They... Tukus? There you go.
Yeah.
So
that's clean.
You know, initial thoughts. I don't look at the artwork in this and think, oh, this is bad. But it does feel like a big letdown after the artwork that I thought was beautiful.
Mm. Yes, it's serviceable. I mean, it's more than serviceable, but it's like,
It's just, you know, again, the artwork was so good that now it's, you know, it's not. Again, not bad. I'm gonna have to try and when we rate this, I'm gonna have to do it based on its own merit.
That's right. We have to judge each child on its own merit, no matter how dumb they are.
Just looking at the cover, Ms. Marvel, the way her hair is and everything, she looks like she should be Mantis.
Ms. Mantis. Our first name ain't Baby. It's Ms. Mantis. If you're nasty.
I don't even know what that's from.
What? That's from Janet Jackson.
That would explain why I don't know nasty what boys. It's from. Bam, bam, I know. Bam, I am familiar bam, with the song.
Oh, you nasty
I'm familiar with the
no,
song.
No, my first name ain't Baby. It's Janet. Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Okay. I guess that's... I know the song from... what was the movie? Tough Guys? With Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster?
Ah. Which that's is, all I do for Burt Lancaster. That's all I can do. Don't ask me to do more. All I can do is oh. And it sounds more like maybe Toshiro Mifune than it does Burt Lancaster.
He had a unique vocal styling. I don't think there's too many people who I don't think I've ever heard anybody do a really, really good Burt Lancaster imitation.
Frank Gorshin did a good Burt Lancaster.
Back on the copycats.
Well, a lot of people weren't aware that Frank Gorshin did impressions.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, the copycats. There was that show that he was on. And they would do
I have never heard of that show.
Look her up.
Believe it or not. I'm walking on... tangent.
Yeah, I'm looking it up just to see if...
All right, I'm going to get this out of the way right now because it bugs the freaking... We haven't even gotten a book, all right? So you were let down by the art. Why is Captain America wearing bandages over his uniform?
Yeah, I was going to get to that when we do the breakdown. I hate that look, and they do it in comics all the time.
Like, why? I mean... It's not like we don't know who Steve Rogers is.
No, but even if we didn't, you don't bandage over clothing.
What? One, it's not sanitary. For I mean,
okay, just backing us up before we get into the issue so much. The ABC Comedy Hour is an American television variety series that aired on ABC in 1972. 7 of the 13 episodes featured a guest host and a team of comedy impressionists known as the Copycats, K-O-P-Y-K-A-T-S, and it says Rich Little, Frank Gorshin, Joe Baker, Marilyn Michaels, George Kirby, and Fred Travellina, with single appearances by Charlie Callis, Will Jordan, and Peter Goodright. I guess I was 10 years old when this was on, and I have a vague recollection of it. I do recall seeing it and thinking it was quite amusing at the time.
Yes, never saw an episode, but I can see, that's quite the, and of course, Rich Little did Johnny Carson all day long.
Rich, I thought Rich Little did the worst Johnny Carson. He used to just go, I thought it was terrible. He did the very, very stereotype impressions. You know, the ones that the average guy off the street
would
do. You
got to start somewhere.
He made a career out of it.
Exactly.
He didn't start doing, there.
Doing Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah, or John Wayne. Well, let me tell you.
Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyway, back to the Avengers. So this is issue number 45, or 460. Depending on whether you feel young or old.
Ugh. Well, what are they up to now? Hold on. I have the most recent Avengers at arm's length. There we go. So now they're back to printing the legacy, like it has the issue number and then it says legacy number. So now they're up to 785.
I almost feel like that number should be coming up on the screen and, 785-55.
Now serving 785. And you look at your ticket and we're at 460. It's like the DMV.
It is the superhero DMV. I'm here to renew my license. They call me Captain Ultra. What's your superpower? Well, I walk real fast. Do you run?
What is that from?
I don't know. I make it up as I go along.
Oh, I thought it was from something. See, I was going to go the Mel Brooks.
No, see, if you remember, we used to do the interviews. Like the people would come in and, on the show, we would do them as jokes, and it was a callback.
Ah.
What we in the industry call a callback.
Gotcha.
And by we in the industry, I mean me.
The industry. What?
Have we got a synopsis of this issue?
Yeah, I was just glancing through the book, and there was like, it says, I thought this said General McGurthy, but it's McGinty. Not to be confused with show killer Steve McGinty. That's what I call him, because every time he came on a show at the end, then it was dead. Remember, he was the guy. He's the one that came on, like, Happy Days at the end, and then...
No, you mean Ted McGinley.
Oh, that's McGinley. I got the wrong Ginty. But anyway, that's my own theory.
He was the jump-the-shark guy.
Yes. And then...
Because when they gave categories of jump-the-shark, different things that would happen, he was one of them.
Oh, okay. So I'm not alone in this theorem.
Yeah, I think it was on the jump-the-shark website. That they had, shows where Ted McGinley came on.
Yeah, because then he came on Married with Children, and then my new person for him is Katrina Law, which I like her, but it seems like every show lately that she has come on, she came on Arrow, she came on Sorry. She came on something else and then it crashed, but now she's on NCIS. So I think the sheer power and magnitude of NCIS is foiling her show stopping powers.
Curse.
It's a shame. I like her. Yes.
Foiled again.
So let me. Oh, and then there was another. I was reading stuff in the synopsis in the book here. It's just three words: Masters Ringwalls, and it made me think Molly Ringwald.
Like, could what? Could be a movie. Jump the shark, person.
Maybe. Okay. okay. Our credits are Kurt Busiek, writer; Manuel Garcia, pencils; Bob Layton, inks; Tom Smith, colors; Richard Starkings and Comic Crafts; Albert DeShenze, letters; Andy Kubert is the cover artist; Mark Sumerak is the assistant editor; and Tom Brevoort is the editor. Returning to their empire's 40th century capital, Kang and Scarlet Centurion rally the troops for invading present-day Earth, where Wasp, Thor, Firebird, and Captain America meet U.S. officials to plot defeasive strategy. I'm going to say it wrong. I might as well just commit to the bit. A wearily indifferent Thor exits abruptly, exits stage left even. When Firebird confronts him, he admits that Cap's near death has made him realize how badly his mortal comrade's death will eventually hurt him. Oh, I got feelings. He is considering quitting the Avengers. What, in the middle of a battle? But Firebird resolves to change his mind. At Avengers Mansion, Deviant Warlord Crow thanks the Avengers for neutralizing Dupless Renegade Army. Hank Pym announces he's remaining Yellowjacket. This always goes well. Triathlon befriends Jack of Hearts, and it really smarts. Oh. And Warbird convinces Triathlon that his triune understanding church needs further investigation due to various suspicious developments. Triathlon reluctantly agrees to help a data-gathering vision infiltrate the triunes. It's early. Ugh. And Warbird says she hopes that clearing up the triune mysteries can improve relations between Triathlon and his fellow Avengers. Meanwhile, the military warns the Avengers that if they cannot defeat Kang within 96 hours, the U.S. will deploy Sentinels. The self-proclaimed master of the world, no, not Vincent Price from the Jules Verne novel / movie, complicates the conflict by erecting high-tech barricades around North American major cities, announcing he will save his world from Kang. Oh, I did not do my homework. We had talked about Valerie Cooper last time. I didn't get into that to figure all that crap out. That'll be for another time.
Okay, yeah, well, it'll come up before this saga.
You may
over,
fire
I'm
when
sure.
ready. When ready. Well,
you mentioned strategery earlier on, and I don't know how much you listen to Raging Bullets, but that's a running gag they have on that. In the business, we call it a bit. but they Jim Segulin uses the word strategery every now and again, and they have a song making fun of the pronunciation. Oh.
Strategery. What is that supposed to mean? That's a word that I have never seen. Do you exist? Strategery. Suddenly, I don't feel as smart as I used to be. I couldn't find it in a dictionary. Oh, what the heck is strategery? Why I need to know, I don't know, it's just my way. I asked a friend I know, and they told me go away. strategery. Maybe it's something that is wrong with me. I may need a pill from the pharmacy. Maybe that will cure my strategery. Why I need to know, I don't know. It's just my way. Just because I don't know, I'll just say it anyway. Strategery. A definition isn't meant to be, or at least one that I can see. I'm so confused. Strategery.
I used that as a joke once in a class I was doing for it was a class to be a teacher. It was just like a certification thing, and I had to create a PowerPoint, and then the word strategy was in there, and I was like, you can use this type of strategy or strategery if you're George Bush. And this one woman in the back of the class, she went, whoa! She just found it so funny. And I was like, thank you.
Then you just drop the microphone and walk out of the class.
Exactly.
So I guess we should start diving into this book. And right off the bat, I'm not wild about this cover. It basically shows Thor seems to be staggered, possibly, and he's being propped up by Captain America. They both look like they have, you know, battle wounds or scars or signs of having been in battle. Behind them is Ms. Marvel in her mantis look, you know, much smaller, so she must be several feet back, and she's, I don't know, adjusting her gloves. And then there seems to be wreckage behind them. There's a bus to the right, there's some debris in front of them, and then there's a building that's all torn up on the right. It's not a terrible cover, but it just, there's something about it that doesn't really grab me. I'm not crazy about the execution, the way the faces look. I'm not crazy about the angle they chose. And it's not something that would really make me jump all over this.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Again, it's not all right. Not a bad cover. It's not like I'm looking at it and saying, oh, how could you put this out? It's so badly drawn. It's not that at all. But it's just, there's nothing about it that really excites me.
Well, there's something weird with Thor's boot. Okay, the top of his boot, where it's gold there, mm-hmm. the yellow, almost looks like it's a continuation of Miss Marvel's thigh. Like if you trace her leg up, and it's like, I'm like, what? What? I mean, obviously it's not, but it's very strange. It's almost like, I don't know. Is it a coincidence? It has to be a coincidence.
No, it could be. As the cover was being penciled, you know, he kind of made the lines for her and then just kind of added them in to make him part of, you know, as part of the boot.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. It doesn't look to me like it has an actual purpose in being kind of a continuous line with her. But it does look like it could be. You know, possibly from the artistic point of view that I don't have, maybe he's thinking, oh, it makes it look to be a kind of join the picture together in some way.
I don't know. Okay, so I'm not just crazy.
No. Well, not in this respect.
Not in that aspect.
So then opening it up, you know, we open to, it's almost like clown face Kang. with
red
the crowd
nose on him.
Yeah, with the crowd, you know, chanting Kang.
Bozo.
I've mentioned on so many occasions, you know, when people have the future, you know, the outfits they have them wear, you know, what fits for a futuristic outfit. In this case, I don't know if they're just, you know, I don't believe that they're supposed to be casual clothes. I think these are supposed to be armors that they're wearing because they're all
holding up
weapons and stuff. But just some of them seem like, well, I'm going to wear the yellow armor today. Well, I'm going to wear the red. And I'm going to have the green one. You know, it's just like almost to distinguish them in the crowd.
I'm going to have this light coming up from this light from behind my mask. I got to put these batteries in.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's fine. This is more just an observation than a complaint. But I just, you know, sometimes I just get a kick out of what artists think. Well, this is what I'm going to do for that. You know, I think that it's a heavy task to say, you know, come up with an outfit that people will wear in, you know, 3,000 years from now, and make a crowd scene with it. You know, some people do the whatchamacallit, the everybody wears the same outfit thing, and others do, you know, the unique ones.
Yeah.
And, you know, Kang and Marcus. Marcus's face looks a little smug there, too. They're looking on, and as the crowd is chanting to him. You know what? I'm just looking at the outfits. It's almost like a very colorful medieval look.
The Red Fair comes to Kang's castle.
And then, you know, Kang starts to reminisce about how he raped this woman. You know, it really is just kind of, I mean, I guess it's to show you how distasteful Kang is. You know, he has this woman and he chooses her from the breeding stock, and decides that she's going to be the one to bear his son. But it's an interesting thing that he sends her 25 years. What was it? She sent it into the past 25 years once, I guess, he impregnates her so that, you know, the next day he has an adult son.
Well, that's one way of getting around. Yeah.
He didn't go to any baseball games with him during that time.
No, but you don't have to pay child support. Oh, I got a full-grown son. Well,
but if you didn't want to pay child support, wouldn't you send him to the future? So this way, if she says, you know, hey, he owes me, that doesn't come due for another 20 years. But if it's in
maybe
the past, if it's in the past, they could add interest to it.
Well, plot. I don't know. Reasons.
I guess. So they show, you know, Marcus training, and then we come and we rejoin them together as they look on at all the machinations coming into play for them. And he's, you know,
army training, sir. Sorry.
Kang seems to be, you know, quite taken with the idea of, you know, that he's going to basically implement Marcus into his strategy, and that he's going to help to, you know, rule the world. Plan. Or not, I guess it's not even rule the world. He's looking to rule, like, the universe and time.
Whatever. Kang's a psycho.
So we cut to the Pentagon, and it's, you know, Captain America must have borrowed Professor Xavier's wheelchair. And, I mean, the bandages over the costume always irritate me. Especially just the head bandages in general. You know, you don't see people too often with those, with that sitcom, you know, turban of bandages that they show all the time. That's not a common look. And yet,
well, they even went to the trouble of have either wrapping around or poking the little wings on his head through the bandages. I'm like, come on.
Now, anybody who's ever been in the hospital for an emergency situation understands that
they cut the clothes off.
Yeah, they make no effort to spare your clothing. They take a scissor and they cut right into. Oh, you know, that suit was $1,000. I don't care. You know, that's really what it comes down to. And
lost
I
muscle.
I'll say that
a costume with, change.
I'll say that with a, you know, with an element of I understand why they have to do it. They're, you know, their concern isn't saving your. Outfit. It reminds me of the scene in Dirty Harry. You know, he gets like a little shrapnel or something in his leg, tiny, you know, nothing much. And the doctor goes to cut off his pants, and he's like, no. I don't remember the exact price, but he's like, at $29.95, I'll deal with taking them off myself. So they're meeting with, is that General Ross they're meeting with?
That's McGinty. That's McGinty.
Ted McGinley. They're meeting with Ted McGinley and going over strategy, and fortifications that they're making. Now, I think at this point in the story, you're kind of comfortable with the thought that all their strategies here as far as the military and reinforcing things is pretty much just busy work. That it's going to have nothing to do with actually protecting the Earth.
France has been reinforced by UN troops from all over Europe. And some of our boys as well. Well, how did that Maginot Line thing work for you? Just saying. Hopefully they're not using that strategy again. The Maginot Line, for anybody who cares, was all the bunkers that they put based in Germany. So what did Germany do? They went around them with tanks. Surprise,
So Thor comes in, and he's not a happy dude. And what's it? Wanda's talking to Tony Stark.
And then she's talking to the coolest man in the room.
Yeah, the coolest deviant.
I don't remember. Those aren't real. Are those his eyes or are those like sunglasses? I don't remember if I've seen her without those.
I'm not really sure. I'd have to go back to some issues of the Eternals and see.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking we never see him without them, but I'm also not thinking they're his eyes.
Didn't Crow and Athena with the Eternals have something?
Possibly.
I vaguely remember that.
I'd have to revisit that whole series.
Do you think he's full of crap saying, hey, yeah, thanks for taking care of that guy for me. Wink, wink. Yeah. I had nothing to do with that.
From what little I can recall of him, and again, I'm not really up on him right now, but I think he's saying that to the extent that it serves his purposes, and if it stopped serving his purposes, he would turn it right around. And then we see Hank Pym comes in his yellow jacket. Now, you know, this is always great
when Hank changes his. God.
Yeah, it's the oversimplified psychology that we implement in comics because it would, you know. This guy should be going through long and arduous psychotherapy, and no, I'm cured.
Yeah, I'm fine.
What? It's so what? I have multiple personalities. They're all good. I don't remember Jack of Hearts being able to kind of just reassume his human form. Do you? You know, again, another character that I have a little bit of a blind spot for.
No, I thought he had to pretty much wear the suit all the time, but that was early on. And then towards the end of his, he has to, I think he kind of sacrifices himself or he goes off into space because he keeps he has to spend so much time in like he's almost spending almost all the time in the neutralization, you know, to keep his powers in check, and then he goes up and I think he blows himself up in space. But then at the end in Avengers Disassembled, like issue 500 something, which I, from here would be like another 40 some odd, a few years down the road, is when he comes back and he blows up and kills the he kills somebody when he comes at a mansion. Have we covered that book? Did we cover that book in a spotlight?
I think we may have covered issue 500, if that's the one you mean.
Yeah, yeah.
We covered it in our 500th episode.
Did we? Oh, okay. Wow.
I would personally prefer that he wore boxers and not a Speedo, but, you know, that's just me.
Maybe it's a space Speedo, because he's an alien.
Ooh. No, isn't he a human that's been...
Well, I think he's half and half. No, because he's... Originally, I believe he had... Because he's... I can't remember the planet, the race. That's why he had, like, the half... I don't know. The left side of your face is black. The right side of your face is white. Oh, no, the right side of your...
Back to Frank Gorshin.
Yes, it all comes back to... It all comes back to Frank Gorshin.
So it turns out Jack of Hearts is a copycat. So he and Triathlon buddying up. It's interesting to me to see some of the stuff from this era, because I really don't recall what happened to Triathlon. I don't recall what happened to Bonita. So it's going to be interesting to me to watch kind of progression. Moving on.
Another musical cue.
Now they have their sit down where they talk about checking out the Triune.
Now, does it look like the art has changed?
It looks to me like the coloring has changed.
Maybe it's just because they changed. Well, no, they're still in the mansion, but it's suddenly
it's brighter.
It's different, yeah. All right, sorry.
That's okay. You're supposed to point out stuff that you see. So, you know, it's I definitely get their concerns, and I think this is pretty well put together, that, you know, they're concerned about the Triune and what it's doing, and, you know, if they have any kind of agenda that's going to be troublesome down the line, and he's feeling like, well, they've always helped me with stuff, so I don't want to betray them. So it's kind of a cool conflict, mm-hmm. and he's, you know, grudgingly agreeing to it. So I think that's well put together. And then we have a get-together with Bonita and Thor.
They're standing on the top of the Jefferson Memorial, I think.
I was wondering what building that was.
Yeah, I think it's got a round top. Yeah, it's the Lincoln one that's flat on the top. Yeah, that's the Jefferson.
So they're creating all the angst, you know, about Thor being attached to the current people, and, you know, that he's going to outlive them because he's a god. You know, it seems to me like they're making a real effort here to put in character moments. And if you're going to have a storyline that's going to run as long as this one, I think you really need that. Mm-hmm. Just looking at was it on page I don't know what the number is, the second page where they're talking to each other on the right, I think our anatomy on Firebird's a little off, because her butt cheeks extend about 6 to 8 inches beyond her thighs, you know, backwards.
Baby got back.
it's really like dangling there. He drew her butt cheeks as if they were breasts.
Hold on, wait, I'm putting my hands up and I'm covering. Yep, you are correct. That could be that could be, yes.
It's very off-putting. I don't know. Something about the way that's drawn.
That depends.
Disconcerting. Well, in my mind. in my very simplistic mind.
I'm not going to kick her out of bed for eating crackers.
And then we cut back to the...
God, that was such a sexist remark. I'm a pig.
Here we go.
Pig, I tell you. Oink.
I would like to hear from all the women listeners about how offended they are by Bill's comments.
Play some cricket new stuff here. And scene.
And we cut back to our get-together discussing the triune. And Triathlon does reluctantly agree to help out. And as they're leaving, Quicksilver is sitting there saying, why don't I have friends?
Why can't we be friends?
I'm going to sit on the edge of the building and fall, and then I'm done. Jarvis comes up and gives him... What did he bring him? Coffee?
An energy drink.
And then we cut back to the ominous
look of
the...
Looks like he's got a scone on that or something.
Well, he is British.
Donut. Oh, yeah, yeah. Is he British?
I believe so.
I don't really... that's a good question. I never really thought of Jarvis as British. Although, well, I mean...
I always thought of him as a proper gentleman's gentleman. And then we cut back to the very ominous look of these sentinels being ready to be the next step. And again, I mean, I'm interested in seeing where this is going to go, and if the sentinels, I assume they aren't Chekhov sentinels and they are going to be deployed at some point. But I'm assuming they're also going to be very just ineffective. When all is said and done, either I'm anticipating that they will either be totally ineffective or they will be somehow corrupted and taken over by Kang. And then we cut back to our, well, we don't cut back to, we have that in that same conversation, our Captain America, our bandaged over his costume Captain America. You know,
96 hours.
I'm looking at that look, it is bothersome to me. Like, again, it's been a pet peeve for a long time, but like, he's got bandages over his shoulder. Was he bleeding there? And is on his bicep and then around his waist. Now, the waist I can kind of get on board with if he had a cracked rib or something just to give you kind of some support or whatever. But the shoulder, if he's not bleeding, then you'd probably put him in a sling. You wouldn't just wrap his shoulder. If he is bleeding, you wouldn't bandage him over his costume, if nothing else, just because of the risk of infection.
So well, it's a nice touch that when they show him the sentinels, Cap gets out of the chair and he leans on the table.
That is, yeah, that is good, that he's still having a little difficulty maneuvering. Mm-hmm. And he's not happy with the amount of time they have. And then we cut to, where is this located? That these
this is in they're still, all in Washington.
Yeah, and but the what are these gigantic teeth? Biblical behemoths.
That's the Molly Ringwalds.
So they make themselves known with a double croom or triple croom. And a
three crooms and a kish. Sounds like you're ordering something at a bagel shop.
Thor says odds blood, and that's just, again just a weird way of working. One of my favorite, one not my very favorite, but one of my favorite Abbott and Costello movies is The Time of Their Lives, where Lou plays a ghost of a Revolutionary War soldier.
That's one I have not seen that many times.
I would recommend it very highly. If you like Abbott and Costello, and it's actually one that was done at the point when the partnership was breaking up, and originally it was going to be just a Lou Costello vehicle, but then the partnership got back together and they wrote in a part for Abbott, so they're not really partners in it. But anyway, this is my long, convoluted way of saying, and every time something happens that throws him off, his exclamation is odds Botkins, and I don't even know exactly what that means, but When Thor says Odd's blood, I'm hearing it in Lou Costello's voice. So then they come in to alert the folks in the Pentagon, and then they get the message from the Master of the World. Now, I love the way these two creatures at his sides look. Are they significant? I'm not really... I'm familiar with...
Okay.
I'm familiar with the existence of the character of the Master of the World, but I know very, very little about his background. Tell me what you know.
I did not research anything, but I've read enough Alpha Flight. The Master of the World was a Neanderthal who stumbled upon an alien spacecraft way back in the day.
So he's Vandal Savage.
Kind of, yes. You could equate that. And learn the technology, blah, 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 blah. And he actually, the character in Alpha Flight, and you will remember her in the Avengers, Marina.
Mm-hmm.
She's like an aquatic
Submariner's chick.
Yes. She, one of her eggs, so in the spacecraft, that's why if you notice the color scheme, it's the same as Marina. I would say these are, what do they call them? Duplos, do something. It was the eggs, the creatures that he could control. Because at one point in Alpha Flight, he activates her control and she attacks, you know. There's always
doesn't
danger
she like, she, does
she does
she
that
like
against
mutate
the Submariner
or something?
Too. Yeah, she gets all, she grows a bunch of teeth and loses her shit. It's basically what we'll say. So, yeah, and his goal is always been to protect North America.
My goal too.
Although, you know, whatever. But he's the self-proclaimed Master of the World.
See, I'm familiar with the existence of the character, but I've never really... I don't think I've ever actually read anything with him in it. And I always pictured him as being, like, kind of a Mort who thinks he's the Master of the World. But maybe... I assume he really is powerful.
I know, yeah. Well, and then something else I remember that happened... pretty sure in Alpha Flight is at one point they rip his helmet off, but it's like it was kind of like bonded to his head with the technology and stuff, and he's like, ah, you know, when they rip it off his head. I think he didn't pop up in the Terminus thing, did he?
Not that I remember, no.
Okay. Maybe it's just it was because Terminus was originally in the FF and John Byrne, and this is very, very reminiscent. I believe Byrne was the first person to draw him. It's very reminiscent of John Byrne in this image.
Well, this last page, which is a splash page effectively, I think is the best drawn page in the book. I think it's very effective the way it's drawn and the way he looks. And assuming that I'm wrong, which I think I am, about him being some kind of a Mort, you know, it would be kind of threatening and something. At a minimum, he presents kind of a major, major distraction, because I don't see them actually, like, teaming up with him.
Yeah, I don't remember, because if you remember last time, I had glanced ahead and got to this, it was like, oh, man, the
yes.
Master of the World, oh, no. Didn't see that coming. Damn.
So it's going to be, once again, it leaves me wanting more. And just to pull back the curtain, Bill and I had talked about, you know, possibly trying to do back-to-back episodes today, and we did not. And one of the reasons we did not is because I haven't read the next issue yet, even though I'm looking forward to doing so.
Well, let me do a sneak preview. I'm going to open it now. Just open. Give me grief. Oh. Oh, no. Oh. Not going to like that cover.
Oh, no. And I'm going to do a sneak preview and look at that cover also. Oh, maybe not. Let me see if I can do it quickly. Because this is what people tune in to listen to. Us...
Riveting. Riveting, I tell you.
Us going to our computers to look at stuff. And today, Paul and Bill will be looking at No, this is the cover. Just by way of an advanced teaser, the cover looks to be, you know, like one of these painted covers. And it doesn't look like it's exceptionally well done, in my humble opinion. So, we'll get to that issue sometime soon. And, I'm still, you know, I gotta say, I'm still enjoying this particular saga. It's a little slow moving for me, and it's the decompressed nature, I guess. But if you can get by the slow moving, it's been pretty good. I've enjoyed kind of going through it.
Well, it looks like next time the action picks back up. There's no like surprise guest appearances. Looks like we pretty much check in, kind of like the first few issues, to where there's a lot of action going on around the globe, and everybody's doing their thing.
You want to?
That'll be next time.
Well, before we get to Andy Leyland invitations, you want to rate this one?
Sure. I mean, the cover on its own. I'm not as critical of Kubert art as I think you and Scott are. I would give the cover a B+, A-.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm overly critical of which Andy and Adam Kubert. I even think Scott's criticism is more with Joe Kubert, who I actually am a fan of. You know, I assume his kids have some of his stylistic training, but I don't really see that much of it. And it's more the angle choice, and I don't know. There's something about this cover that just doesn't really pull me in. So it's not, again, it's not that it's a badly drawn cover. It's just not my thing. And I'm going to say a C+ on it.
Ooh, a C+. Ooh, wow, my. Interior art. Serviceable. I mean, Kang looks a little goofy. I'm going to give it a B. Oh, wait. I just saw something.
What'd you see?
So when Kang takes his mistress to birth...
What, did they show him without his mask on?
Yeah, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, I noticed that. He looks like the wizard.
He looks almost like the leader. He's got a big head.
He does have a big head.
That's a weird angle. So
not MODOK big. Like the leader. Just like
going up. So, So what did I say? B minus for the art. Sorry, go ahead.
I would say I'm in agreeance with you on the art. It's not bad. It's just a letdown after the other quality issues that we've had. Or high quality issues.
Yep. So the story, we feel like we're still catching our breath, when really last time we were still catching our breath, because wasn't last time the annual?
Last time I think was Thor freeing the radioactive people.
Radiation. Yes. Yeah.
But go ahead. I mean, I'm sorry.
We're catching our breath again, because at the glance at the next one, it's all like action, 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 action. So this is, again, taking a breath, regrouping, putting bandages over our uniforms. Dumbass.
That's just a poor artistic choice. I don't think that's a story element.
True. But still.
You know, it's like there's nothing in this issue that I'm thinking, oh, they need to eliminate this. There's nothing in here that I feel is total filler. On the other hand, I feel like this issue needs about 5 more pages just to give it a little action instead of being a talky-talk kind of issue.
I'm just thinking if you were getting this monthly, and then you're like,
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, exactly. Because I think it needs a little action. So that's what I'm saying. I think it needs about 5 more pages just to give you some, just to mingle in a little action in here, which we don't really get. So aside from that, I think it's well written, and you know, I'd say a B.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
And overall, as a chapter in this overall story, I'm thinking, B minus.
Yeah.
But I am, it does, again, as I've mentioned on so many times on these shows, it does make me look forward to the next issue. So, you got to give points for that.
And at the rate we're going...
Well, we'll get through this saga by 2030.
That's strictly on my end. I had a lot of things going on. We had a hurricane come through, came very close. Everybody's fine. We're all fine here.
How are you?
But
let me give you a little props, because you have been exceptionally busy and you've been unable to join us a lot when we've recorded with Dave and Scott, but you have clearly made an effort to continue to make yourself available to get this done, when we can squeeze it in. So the listeners hopefully appreciate that. In the meanwhile.
Oh, and I did take, I don't know if I said it. Well, yeah, this would be the first recording since. So we had to evacuate. Mandatory evacuation where I live, and I took 14 boxes of Avengers comics to the hospital. I brought six of them into my office.
Did you bandage them over the bags and boards?
No, I did not. But so we also loaded up. So out of my 90 some odd boxes, I think I've got close to 100 now, all short boxes. So I only took the Avengers. I was ready to sacrifice everything else. And I had done that over 2 days, because with a hurricane, you see it coming and it's like, all right, I'm gonna take six boxes to work today. And then on the second thing, everybody had to, it was weird. My whole family was split up between four locations, because my wife stayed in the hospital with her mother, who went into the hospital 2 days before the storm came. I was not the hospital where I work. I was at the VA hospital, and we had a crazy night there because of all the water intrusion and wind damage and water damage. And then my two daughters stayed with a friend at a couple miles inland, and then my son stayed with his aunt to help her. So we were all in different spots for the storm. It was everybody's fine though.
I would imagine Kurt Busiek could write a script where the four of you were, each having their little end of the thing.
Yeah. True, yes.
But yeah, it's good that you guys made it through okay, and it's good that the comics did. Think of the comics. Yes.
Think of the comics. And my wife didn't bat, and I, because I took our SUV.
I just picture you loading the car up with comics, and you and your three kids are sitting there, and then you drive away.
No. Okay, so I said, I'm like, fill the car up with, because what we did was, as a backup plan, we filled two cases of clothes. Because if we lost the house or whatever, we wanted, we would need clothes to wear. I took all the, she took the important papers. I took all the keepsakes.
You would need clothes to wear while you were reading these comics.
Yeah, exactly. And I was like, if I'm going to lose my entire collection, if I have time to save it, I'm going to just save all the Avengers. Everybody else can go. And it was hard. I'm just like, I'm going to take these boxes. But I told my wife, I'm like, you fill up the car with what you want in there first. If I have room, I will take my comics after. So don't think,
I'm like, I gotta get these in here first.
There's enough room for me to put my boxes in. Plus, like I said, I had taken six of them already, the Avengers proper. The other eight boxes were all like West Coast and New Avengers and Avengers Assemble and all the miniseries. I took that separate on a second day and filled that in the car. The day prior, I had loaded up the other car and backed up to the loading dock and said, hey, come here with a cart. I gotta get these in the office. My boss didn't bat an eye. He's like,
I'm proud of you, Bill.
I gotta save these books.
So next episode that we do, we'll talk some more Avengers and possibly the adventures of the Robinson family.
Maybe next time I'll tell you about the crazy like 13 hours we had at the hospital because of the storm.
Yeah, see, we're telling this in a decompressed manner.
This is true. This is true.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiManzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.
Hold on. I gotta stretch. Oh, my spine!